Amen. Well, once again, it's so good to see everybody, and honored that we're all here and gathered together. And I'm just going to ask us just to stand for a quick moment, just to read a few verses from God's word here in Luke chapter 24. And once again, for those of us who are online, man, it's so good to have you all a part of this experience. We know that many may be traveling right now and on holiday break, spring break, if you will, and are visiting family in different places, chilling in different places. So wherever you are watching this from, we pray that this ministers to your soul as you are wherever it is you are. But I'm gonna let y'all know that in this place right here, this is actually the place to be if you can be here. Hey, in person, y'all make some noise really quick. This is the place to be. I'm not even gonna lie. But man, so glad that we could all be together, whether online or in person. So we're gonna look at the book of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 is where we're gonna spend some time today. But just for time purposes and brevity purposes, I just wanna read a few verses just to kick us off. And here's what it says in Luke 24, verse 1. We got it for you on the screen as well. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here." Somebody say it with me. He has risen. Come on, say it again. He has risen. Come on, say it one more time right in the chat. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Verse 6 says, he's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. So today, I want to preach from this theme and thought on this year's 2021 Easter Resurrection Sunday. The pandemic may still be happening, but we still in this place praising Jesus and hearing a word in this place, all masked up, temperature checks at the door. But because Jesus is alive, we are here. I want to preach from this theme and thoughts. Y'all ready for it? I think they're going to bring it up on the screen. I want to preach from this thought, a clutch performance. A clutch performance. I want you to look at the person beside you and ask them, are you clutch? I want you to find somebody in the room really quick, air high five them, and at the same time ask them, are you clutch? Are you clutch? Come on, type it in the chat. Are you clutch? Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us wherever we are all around the world. It is a beautiful day because the sun has risen. Not the sun, S-U-N, but your son, S-O-N, Jesus. And God, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, no matter what it is that we are facing, that you would minister hope to us in this moment. I pray that you would give us a new perspective. I pray that you would help us to see you in a way that we've never seen you before. Speak to us, O Lord. Minister to us right where we are, in Jesus' name. And every person said, amen. Amen. You can go to your seats. A clutch performance. Big shout out once again to all of our first-time guests, man. We're honored that you're here. I want to let you guys know, in the next week, we're starting a brand new series called Game Changer. And we're going to talk about how the resurrection of Jesus is the absolute game changer in our lives. But before we get to next week, I want to do some work today talking about this event known as the resurrection. Somebody say resurrection. Now, when I think about the resurrection, I find it interesting that usually around Easter time, there's also another time that's usually happening here in this country, here in the USA, if you're watching this from another country. But there's a time and a season that's happening, and it's actually happening right now, that's in conjunction with the Easter season. And that season is known as March Madness. How many of y'all like college basketball? Let me just see your hands really quick. Like college basketball? How many of y'all think y'all like college basketball? But you don't really watch college basketball for real. College basketball, I love March Madness. Because the reason why it's called March Madness is because it's during this season where unbelievable things happen. Upsets happen. Where a 15th ranked team may upset a number one team. Unlikely victories may happen. Teams that aren't supposed to win end up winning somehow. As a matter of fact, last night, as I was finishing preparing this message for you, church family, I was watching the Gonzaga game, and I watched how Gonzaga was going back and forth. Gonzaga is the number one ranked team in the country. They are undefeated up to this point. And they find themselves in this thriller of a game, and regulation has ended. And now they end up going into overtime. And it's interesting because as overtime is getting ready to end, the score is tied. And in this moment, like, my heart is pounding. I'm gonna have to take another shower because I'm sweating. Like, what's about to happen next? And it's tied with about 1.1 seconds left. And every person more than likely is thinking, there's no way Gonzaga is gonna be able to run the length of the court and score a basket. It's gonna go into another overtime. But lo and behold, starting point guard of Gonzaga, star player, gets the ball from out of bounds, dribbles his way just a tad bit past half court, fires up a shot, and banks in the game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer. I'm literally screaming in my house in this moment. Like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. This is madness. And some of y'all will respond to that who can go with me. No, this is Sparta. Some of y'all did not get that at all. It's okay. It's okay. It's from 300 movie. But I'm like, man, this is March Madness. This was a clutch moment. And when moments like this happen, if you're a sports fan like me, there is this one word that you use to describe it, and it is that word, clutch. Somebody say clutch. Some of you guys may be thinking the word clutch just kind of means the traditional definition, to hold on to something tightly. But another meaning of clutch, specifically used in the world of sports, means to perform at a high level under extreme pressure and in pivotal moments in a game. When the game is on the line, hitting the game-winning shot like what we saw last night in the Gonzaga game, kicking the game-winning field goal, scoring the game-winning touchdown, scoring the game-winning run in baseball. In moments where victory was uncertain, there was a pivotal moment that took place that changed the outcome of the game. Let's play a game really quick. Y'all want to play a game? Yeah. My kids said yeah, so even if y'all don't say yeah, I'm going to play with them. Hey, babies, if your life was on the line, and I'll expand it for everybody because they're not the only ones here. But if your life was on the line, but it came to sports and you needed a basket or a touchdown, who would you choose? I want y'all to shout some names out really quick. Who would you choose? Tim Duncan. David Robinson. It's like an old school. Let me give us some help just in case we maybe need some help. Would you choose this person right here, known as Steph Curry? The greatest shooter of all time. Breaking records after records. If you needed a game-winning touchdown, maybe you choose this guy, Pat Mahomes. And when he's throwing this pass right here in the Super Bowl, that was the craziest pass I ever seen in my life. Maybe it's Pat Mahomes, because many times he's led his team to victory after being down enormous deficits. Maybe it's the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. Maybe it's him hitting that game-winning shot over D-Wade. We're having some issues right here. I don't know what's going on. But hitting that game-winning shot over D-Wade, I remember that like it was yesterday. I'm sorry for all of our Heat fans in here. The Black Mamba. Or maybe it's the GOAT himself if you need a game-winning touchdown, Tom Brady. I can see we don't like Tom Brady. We got some haters in here. I don't care what y'all say. That man is the GOAT in football. I'm going to let you know who I personally, if my life was on the line and I needed one person to convert and to do something clutch with my life on the line. There's only one person that I will put my faith, confidence, hope, and trust in. And his name is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. This man right here, 1998, hit the game-winning shot over Byron Russell. He is the one I would trust with my life on the line. Can I get a good amen, somebody? Who else will put their faith and trust that Michael Jordan hit the game when it shot? Now, some of y'all are really spiritual and like, no, Pastor, I would trust Jesus. Jesus ain't dribbling the basketball. But that brother right there, whatever I need a stop, Mike, I'll get it for you. I need a game winning shot, Mike, I'll get it for you. I need a game winning steal, Mike, I'll get it for you. I need a game winning block, Mike, I'll get it for you. I will take my chances. Michael Jordan. And when you look back at things like that, when I think about clutch, especially in sports, if I had to put my life on the line, I'm thinking about him. Because when things looked bleak and the game was lost, clutch moments like this one occurred. Now, even if you can't relate to the sports theme, I believe if we could be honest, especially over this past year, some of you can say that there has been clutch moments that have taken place in your life. Let me just keep it 100 with us. Some of you, when you got that stimulus check, when you got that stimmy, you said, man, that was clutch. I needed that. You looked in your cash app, and you saw there was a little bit extra that came from somebody random. Clutch. I recently saw a story this week about how a person who was working at Goodwill found a coat that had $42,000 in cash in it. And one of my homies sent me this picture, and I said, hey, bro, the lady, she turned it in. God bless her soul. But I'm like, hey, fam, look. Pastor, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a man of God. I know, I'm with you, but my God. That's a lot of money right there. I might have said, yo, this is clutch right here. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Y'all ain't telling the truth. I'm just saying what you be thinking anyway. But it was a blessing. I believe many of us in here have had encounters with clutch moments. Someone let you use their Netflix login, clutch. Over the past year, when you were locked up in the house and you said, I ain't about to pay this money for no Netflix, hey, can you give me a hookup? And they let you get their login in Jesus' name. Such and such came through in the clutch. Somebody gave you their HBO Max login so you could watch the new Zack Snyder Justice League. Clutch. I can testify to this because there was many times in college where I took a test that I was not confident that I was going to do well on, but then I found out some good news that the teacher was grading on a curve. Clutch. Anybody got some clutch moments in their life? Anybody got some moments in their life where it was like, yo, this thing was going one way, but then something happened and it turned. We've all witnessed or experienced a clutch moment in our lives, which brings us here to Luke chapter 24, because here in Luke chapter 24, following the events of Good Friday, as we know it, where Jesus was beaten, he was flogged, he was crucified for the sins of the world, you, me, everybody, he now has been buried in a tomb by this guy by the name of Joseph from Arimathea, and the disciples now are hiding out of fear that they might be next. People are distraught, people are discouraged. Friday, he's in the tomb. Saturday, he's in the tomb. The next day comes, which is where we see here in Luke chapter 24, where some of his followers are making their way to the tomb to see his body, to pay respects to his body. Some other gospel accounts from Matthew and Mark and John actually record that it was some of Jesus' followers, Mary and a few other women, that were paying their respects by coming to the tomb. And here in verse 1, the Bible says this, that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I want us to understand the mood that's present here as these women are making their way to the tomb. These women are not in a cheerful mood, fam. They are depressed. They are discouraged. They are distraught. I even want you to notice the language of the setting and the environment that we see in the text. Notice what the Bible says. It says, early in the morning. In John's account of the same story, John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, early in the morning while it was still dark. Somebody say dark. The Bible says they were making their way to the tomb where he was buried while it was still dark. And I find that to be interesting because the darkness of the time they were walking to the tomb in many ways, I believe, summarizes the time of life that they were in. That just as they were in a time of darkness on the outside, they were also in a time of darkness on the inside. Why? Because Friday, hope died. Jesus, the promised Messiah, so they thought in their eyes, the one who was coming to free us from Roman oppression, he's dead. And you don't come back from death. They put all their confidence there. They put all their hope there. And he died on Friday and was buried that same day. And the women are in this depressed, this demoralized state of being. And the Bible says that they were bringing spices to the tomb, which is the equivalent of what you and I would do in the sense of bringing flowers to the gravesite of a deceased person. Why? Because Friday was a loss for them. Friday, they felt like they took an L. People were scared that they may be next, the disciples in particular. Everyone is in a state of darkness because what appeared to be so promising has now ended in defeat, so it would seem. I want you to look at the parallels that we see happening in this passage of scripture. The Bible says that they were walking in the morning. And it's interesting because while they're walking in the morning, they are in a place of mourning. The Bible also says that they're walking to the tomb in darkness. And as they're walking to the tomb, while it's dark on the outside, it is also dark on the inside. They're depressed, they're discouraged, frustrated, sad, grieving because of what happened on Friday, because of what took place on Friday. And though the darkness would eventually turn to light on the outside, there's still darkness on the inside of them. They went to the tomb, even beyond that, expecting to find the body of Jesus there, but only to find that the body wasn't there. The Bible even says that they're wondering what's going to happen, what happened, and where is his body, and did somebody steal his body? And here's the thing that I want us to understand here, family. Here's the overall theme that we see happening in the beginning of this text. Nothing has gone the way that they expected. It's been hard. Somebody say hard. It's been difficult. It's been dark. Nothing has gone the way that they planned. And I think many of us, if we could be honest, can identify with the women who are experiencing this moment right here. Because from last year, this time, until now, many of us feel as if we are in a place of loss. Many of us have experienced loss. Loss of a loved one over the past year, loss of a relationship over the past year, feeling like you lost a sense of dignity over the past year, your marriage hit the rocks over the last year. You lost joy. You lost peace. There's been a death of relationships. There's been a death of hope. There's been a death of plans that you had. Some of you guys who were planning on the graduating last year, high school seniors, college seniors, you didn't plan to go through that virtually. So much has happened over the past year from last Easter to now. And it's been a lot of darkness, if we could be honest. Some of you are watching this right now online, and you're in a place of darkness. Some of you all are here right now, and you're in a place of darkness. Why? Because things have not gone the way that we expected them to go. And here's one of the things that I've realized when it comes to frustrations, that our greatest frustrations are often the result of unmet expectations. That oftentimes the reason why we are most frustrated is because things did not go the way that we intended for them to go. And I just want to know, has anybody experienced that over the past year? that I've had to live through some stuff over the past year that I never planned on living through. I never planned on living through a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generation pandemic that would shut the whole world down. I never planned on having to be a pastor, a parent, a husband, and a teacher at the house. Many of you are here, and you didn't expect to have to walk through some of the things that you walked through last year. Some of you lost your parents last year. Some of you, your marriage has ended last year. It's ended in the beginning of this year. Some of you have gone through unbelievable things, and you did not expect it to happen. It's been filled with darkness, very similar to what the women are experiencing here and what so many others are experiencing here. I think if we could just be honest for a moment, if we look over the course of our lives, if we would just really take an honest look and assessment at our lives, we can honestly say, man, it's been hard. It's been rough. I've grieved. I've never cried so much in my life than I have over this past year. When I see all of the difficult things that are happening in our society, when I see racism, when I see misogyny, when I see sexism, when I see abuse, all because of the sinfulness of humanity and people being held captive to sin, when all of these things that are happening, all the things that we face, it feels like loss after loss. It feels like there isn't any chance of things being better. And I want to know, has anybody ever felt any of that over the past 12 months? Where it feels like you just kept taking L after L, loss after loss, things that we didn't see happening. The women are experiencing this. And then you see verse 4. It says, while they were wondering about this, wondering about what, Pastor? Wondering what happened to Jesus' body, wondering where do we go from here, wondering about what do we do about this situation, wondering. Some of us have been wondering for the past few months. Some of us have been wondering, and not just wondering, some of us have been worrying all week. How is this going to work out? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to make it through this? How am I going to move from this place of struggle that I am in to a place of thriving? Because I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see how it can get better. I'm dealing with financial strain, and there's not more money coming in. I don't know how this can get better. Marriage is struggling, and it looks like it's headed to divorce. I don't know how this can get any better. That's what the women are wondering about. What do we do about this situation? But in verse 4, something happens that's very interesting. It says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Suddenly, somebody say suddenly again. While things were dark, while things were depressing, while things were discouraging, while things were deflating, while things were doubtful, there was a suddenly that took place in the middle of all the darkness and all the distraughtness that they were feeling. And I want to encourage us, if you don't get anything else out of this message, God has a strange way of suddenly showing up in the middle of the difficult moments and the struggling moments that you and I face in our lives. This is his track record, family. There are some things that God does gradually, but then there's other things that God does suddenly. If you look back to the creation in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the earth was formless and it was void and it was empty and it was dark. And then suddenly God said, let there be light. And what happened? Lights appeared. All throughout the scriptures, you have different accounts where things were going one way, but then all of a sudden, suddenly, God stepped in. God showed up. God intervened. And I think if we could be honest, over this past year, things were going a certain way, but there has been some suddenly type of moments that have happened in our lives where things were going one way, but then God stepped in. Can somebody say amen if you know that is true? God has a strange way of doing things suddenly. And what this shows us, family, is that in our most darkest moments, God has a strange way of showing up, changing things in the dark times, in ugly times, in hard times, God shows up. And we see it here in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. God shows up, and we see it through the resurrection. You want to know why I'm so excited about Easter Sunday? You want to know the reason why I'm so excited about Resurrection Sunday? Why we've been praying and fasting about this thing all week long, praying that we would see God do great things? It's because it represents the sudden moves and shifts of God, that things can be going one way, but then out of nowhere, God shows up. And the one thing that I've been praying for all of us here today who are watching online and here in person, I've been praying, God, would you do a sudden type of work in the lives of every person who will walk through these doors, in the lives of every person who will watch online. Will you do a sudden type of work where you will disrupt the pattern of dysfunction that might be present in the lives of people? And the reason why we can have hope that something like this can happen, it's because of the resurrection of Jesus. What does this show us? What does the resurrection of Jesus show us? It shows us that Jesus is clutch. I said all that I said for the past 15 minutes to get to that one point right there. If you don't get anything else, the thing I want you to understand more than anything else today is it does not matter how bad things look. It does not matter how deflating things look. The reason why you can have confidence that things could get better is because Jesus is clutch. Jesus is clutch. Somebody write, Jesus is clutch in the chat. Somebody say in here, Jesus is clutch. Shows up. And this moment right here in the text that happened 2,000 years ago, family, is a clutch moment. Somebody say clutch. It's clutch. Why, Pastor, is this a clutch moment? Why is the resurrection of Jesus a clutch moment? It's clutch because it shows, number one, that Jesus is reliable. Notice what the Bible says around verse 5. The angels are having this conversation with the women, and it says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. Verse 6 is my favorite. Remember how he told you while he was with you. In other words, it's like the angel is flexing on him right now. Didn't he tell you what he was going to do? Not going to do. You got to use some bad English to communicate good theology. Didn't he tell you not what he was going to do, but what he was going to do? Didn't he tell you that in 3 days after being crucified, he would raise back to life? And that's exactly what he did, which shows us that Jesus is reliable. And one of the things that makes a person clutch in sports is that you can trust them in tough moments. I can trust you. There are certain people that you don't put the ball in their hands. Palms get real sweaty. Nerves start going real high. No. I need to put the ball in somebody's hands that doesn't get rattled by the dysfunction, that doesn't get shaken by the stress. I need to be able to put the ball in the hands of somebody who knows how to function under pressure. And what Jesus shows us is that in the most difficult moments, you can trust me because I'm clutch. When things get difficult, I'm clutch. When things become stressful, I'm clutch. When things get hard, I am clutch. It's reliable. You can trust them. Can believe in him, that he's gonna come through in the clutch. And I think what Jesus wants all of us to understand today is this, that you can trust me. I don't lose battles. I won't ever not be for you. I hear Jesus saying to some of us in here today, if the grave couldn't stop my power, nothing in your life can either. The resurrection reveals the reliable nature of Jesus. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I love that because what it means is that even in the midst of things changing so much around us, we got a Savior and a God who does not change. that when things are difficult, I can lean on him, I can trust on him, I can depend on him. That he is reliable. Somebody say reliable. And you guys know that there are certain people in your life that you can call on if you really need something. There are certain people that you know you can call on if you need a word of encouragement. There are certain people that you need, that you know you can call on if you need somebody to spot you $5. There are certain people that you know that you can call on. Why? Because they are reliable. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. That's so important. In other words, he fulfilled what he said he was going to do. But it didn't stop there. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. In other words, family, I want you to understand this major principle. Jesus is saying, whatever I promise, I always produce. Whatever he promises, he produces. And the resurrection of Jesus is evidence that God always keeps his word. And many of you here and online can attest to the fact that God has been faithful. How do I know this to be true? Because in this pandemic over the past year, God has provided. God has comforted. God has healed. God has been with you. God has looked out for you. God saved you from depression. God saved you from ending your life. God has been faithful. Can we take 5 seconds and worship God for the fact that he has been reliable and he's been consistent and he has been good? Because he is reliable. Which leads me to this thought as well, that because Jesus is alive, what appears to be fatal isn't final. Did y'all hear what I just said? That because Jesus is alive, what appears to be fatal isn't final. So while the world is saying it's over, and while people around you are saying it's over, I hear Jesus saying, we still got time on the clock, fam.
That's right. That's right.
I hear Jesus saying to some of you, do you not realize that I do my best work under pressure? I hear Jesus saying to some of us today, do you not realize that when you come to the end of yourself, that's when I step in, and that's when things begin to change? I do my best work under pressure. Some of y'all can identify with that because you personally, you know that it takes pressure to produce certain things in your life. And I'm grateful for the pressure moments because it's in the pressure moments where we see something valuable. There's a saying that goes like this: pressure breaks pipes. But it's also that same pressure that makes diamonds. And Jesus wants you to understand today that in your most pressure-filled, tense-filled moments, he has a way of stepping in and bringing something beautiful out of something that is difficult. He has a way of bringing something incredible out of something that's hard. Because he is reliable, which leads me to this next point, that he's not just reliable, but him being clutched through the resurrection also shows us that Jesus performs reversals. Someone say reversals. Look at what verse 9 through 12 say. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. I'm gonna tell you why I love this part. Because the Bible says specifically, Mary, Joanna, Mary the mother of James. These women of God were the first people to see the resurrected king. Why is this major and significant, family? For us in our context, that may not seem like a big deal. But in the first century Greco-Roman context, in a male-dominated society where women had no intrinsic value at all in culture, Jesus decides, as we see later on in the book of Matthew, around verse 10 of chapter 28, it says, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Jesus, instead of choosing to appear to Peter, James, John, and the other male disciples, who are all scared, by the way, and locked up in the house somewhere, Jesus decides to show up and reveal his resurrected body for the first time to women. Why is this so significant, Pastor Edwin? I'm glad you asked. Because in the first century Greco-Roman context, the testimony of a woman was considered to be of no value. But Jesus says, we're gonna change that. We're gonna reverse that. We're gonna take that which was last and now make it first. Do you remember when he said that? That in me the first will be last and the last will be first. These women coming to the tomb see Jesus, and Jesus tells them, I want y'all to go tell my scared brothers that I'm alive and that I've risen from the grave. Another reason why the resurrection of Jesus can be trusted is because no Jewish man in this context would make up a story where the women would be the ones sharing this world-changing news. How do we know the resurrection can be trusted? Because nobody would paint themselves in a negative light if that was the case. Luke records, nah, fam, we're gonna tell you that this thing really happened, because Jesus didn't show up to the brothers. He showed up to the women. And they were the first ones to testify to the resurrected king. And they were the first ones to go preach and tell others that Jesus is alive, which shows us a major game-changing moment in human history, that the resurrection of Jesus is so clutch because through it, Jesus is performing a reversal. Jesus is changing things. But it doesn't stop there. Watch what happens next in the text. Verse 11, it says, verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. I want you to see the powerful nature of what happens here. Goes to the tomb, only to find grave clothes. That which had bound Jesus had been left behind. Now you get it. The thing that Jesus was wrapped up in for 3 days was left behind. The grave clothes that he was wrapped in and had been in are no longer on him. They stayed in the grave. Why is this so important? Because sometimes, family, the power of God is not always seen in what is removed, but in what remains. I don't think y'all caught what I said. Oftentimes, we are looking for the power of God to show up in the form of removing things. But sometimes the evidence of God's power is not just seen in what's been removed, but it's also in what remains, which gives me confidence to know that the things that may have me hostage, Jesus has enough power to set me free and to leave them behind, which is why the Bible says that any person who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed. In other words, the old has left behind. The old habits can be left behind. The old mentality can be left behind. The old issues can be left behind. Why? Because I am made new in Jesus Christ today. He has a way of reversing things, changing things, altering things. I don't know if you guys have ever played one of the most historic family fun games known to man by the name of Uno. How many of y'all know about Uno? And what's amazing about Uno is you have all these different types of cards. You have a draw two. God forbid if you get that. Not like you get it in your hand, but somebody uses it against you. Then you have a draw four, my God. And I don't know if you've played with savage people like myself, where they like to just pile it on. draw two, then a draw four, then another draw four, then another draw four, and then they put a wild card down too. One of the things that's so interesting about Uno is I think in many ways when we look at these draw fours and these different types of cards and we're playing behind somebody who has all these different types of cards, as we see them pluck these cards and put these cards out, it can be demoralizing. I mean, especially if they, you know, they're real petty with how they win and the way they play. You'd be like, it's like, yo, it don't take all that, fam. What are you doing? Why you gotta put sound effects behind it? I'm gonna let y'all know that's me, that's what I do. If you play with me, I'm gonna let you know about it. And it's demoralizing, it's difficult, it's stressful when you see all this. And I think if we could be honest, it feels like we've been behind over this past year, maybe this past week, where it's like the enemy is just landing on thick, one after another. Draw four in the form of sickness. Draw four in the form of death. Draw four in the form of loss. Draw four in the form of depression, anxiety, mental health issues, sin, shame. And many of us are feeling the weight of all of this pressure in the form of these draw cards. And you're like, yo, can I get a break? Can I get a break? And if you're playing Uno and you get all these cards and you count them all up, it literally has the potential to alter the whole game. Because you're having just to take card after card after card. Why? Because it feels like you're playing from behind. And I think if we can be honest, many of us in here today can say, man, Pastor Edwin, I feel like over the past year, I've been playing from behind. I feel like I got dealt a bad hand. The enemy is just stacking up all these draw fours, and all I got is a number card. The enemy got all these draw two cards, and I got a one. I got a red two. Anybody feel like that? But then there's a card in Uno that has the potential to change the momentum and the direction of the game. And it's not another draw card. It's not a wild card. It's not a number card. It's the reverse card. Because when I play this reverse card, it means now for the first time in this game, I'm no longer playing behind this person who is inflicting all of this weight upon me. This person whose hand was stacked and loaded, who was laying it on thick on me. I no longer have to be subjected to the pressure because of the reverse card. And what the resurrection of Jesus does in our lives, it is the ultimate card of reverse. Because it changes the course, not just of the game, but it changes the course of the game of your life. It is a game-changing card. And I hear what some of you are saying in here. But Pastor Edwin, what happens if I put my reverse card down in the form of the resurrection, but the enemy puts down his, and Jesus is saying it like this, I got another reverse card for that. But then what happens if the enemy puts one down? I got another reverse card for that. But what happens if the enemy does another? I got another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and I throw a skip in there, and I even throw a draw two in there. Here's what I want us to understand, church family, that the resurrection of Jesus has a strange way of changing the direction and changing the course and changing the line of our human life and of our human history. And this is why the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Not just the good things, not just the great things, not just the awesome things, but the bad things, the terrible things, the sucky things, the ugly things, the dark things. God has a strange way of using it all for your good. And I like what Frederick Buechner says. He says, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. I think we got a little bit misspelling up there. that the worst thing is never the last thing. I want you to get in your mind and your heart right now. What is the worst thing that you've been thinking about could happen to you? What is the worst thing? For some of us, the worst thing is I could have a family member die of COVID. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to understand that even in that situation, my resurrection also gives hope. Some of you, the worst thing is I could lose my house, I could lose my job, I could lose my career, I could lose my money, I could lose my marriage. And Jesus is saying, because of my resurrection, the worst thing that you think could happen to you, it's not the last thing. And I hear God saying today, for some of us who need to hear this word, it ain't over. It's not good English, but it is good theology. It's not over. That because of the resurrection of Jesus, that which may have looked to be dead can actually give birth to something that is new. I want you to understand that Friday was not the end. It was actually the beginning of something that God was doing, and it capitulated into what we are celebrating today on Easter Sunday. I want us to understand that the resurrection gives us hope. That which was bad can be turned good. Some of you are here today, if you could be honest, you should not have made it through the things that you went through last year, this year, so far. You went through a depression, you went through a divorce, you battled addiction, but for some strange reason, you made it through it all. Why? Because Jesus was clutch, and he was looking out for you, and he kept you, and he saved you, and he preserved you. And I love the fact that God's grace is not just seen in what he gets me out of, but it's also seen in what he gets me through. That's the good news of the resurrection, that through Jesus, you got confidence. So because of Jesus, family, you can come back in spite of your setbacks. Some of you need to hear that today because you've experienced setback after setback. But in spite of the setbacks, you can still come back. Because of the resurrection, it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how dark it looks. It doesn't matter how ugly it looks. Through Jesus, you can endure. Through Jesus, you can persevere. This is why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Gives me strength. I want you to understand something, church family. I need to get some amens in here on this, that it does not matter what you are up against. Through Jesus, you have everything that you need to overcome and to persevere. And in Jesus, you have what you need. Somebody say Jesus is clutch. Somebody write in the chat, hashtag Jesus is clutch, because being clutch is not something that Jesus does. It's who he is. He doesn't just have clutch moments. No, he is clutch. There's a difference between having a clutch moment and being clutch. Jesus doesn't just have clutch moments. He is clutch. Let me spiritualize it even more. Resurrection isn't just something that Jesus does. Resurrection is who Jesus is. Some of y'all don't believe me. In John chapter 11, verses 21 through 26, the Bible says it like this. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And notice what he says in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And I want to ask you the same question that Jesus asked her that day 2,000 plus years ago. Do you believe this? Do you believe that he is the resurrection? Do you believe that he can turn things around? Do you believe that he will show up when it's dark? Do you believe that he will open up a door and make a way out of no way? Do you believe that he can heal your body? Do you believe that he can save your marriage? Do you believe that he will provide? Do you believe it? That's the question I want to ask us today. Do you believe it? Will you believe it? Will you believe that Jesus can transform your life? Will you believe that Jesus can do a new thing? Will you believe it? Do you believe it? Because the resurrection of Jesus, I'm going to close with this thought. It is the clutchest moment in human history. Why? Because nobody's supposed to come back from death. That's too big of a gap. That's too big of a deficit. That's too much of a lead to overcome. That's being down 60 points in the fourth quarter. Nobody comes back from that. But I hear heaven on Friday when everybody said, look, this King of the Jews is dead. Our execution through the form of crucifixion wins again. But in heaven, I believe, scripture don't tell us this, I just believe this, that heaven was counting down. Three on Friday, ball in the hand, coming up half court. Two on Saturday, ball in the hand, crossover down the court. And then one on Sunday, when Jesus hears the voice of God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit saying, Jesus, get up on Sunday morning. I hear God doing the same thing in our lives today. That while the enemy is counting you out, heaven is counting down. Three, two, one. Buzzer beater, game on a line, life on a line, salvation on a line, humanity on a line. But Jesus the same, in the clutch moment, I always deliver. And Jesus, with all of our lives on the line, delivered. Past, present, future. He said, I know it looked bad, I know it looked dark, but I stepped in. I showed up. And you know what the most common thing to do when a clutch moment happens? You know what is our natural reaction for all of us? It's to go tell somebody about it. It's to go post it on social media. It's to screen grab it, it's to share it. Oh my gosh, did you see Gonzaga hit the game-winning shot? Oh my gosh, did you see MJ? Oh my gosh, did you see LeBron? Well, LeBron doesn't really have clutch moments, but oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. This is unbelievable. And this is what God wants us to experience through the resurrection. That when we hear about this resurrection, when we read this story about the resurrection, we should read it with awe and excitement, saying, I can't believe what my eyes are seeing and what my ears are hearing, that Jesus got up with all victory in his hands. I gotta go tell somebody about it. I gotta go share. I gotta let somebody know. And I believe that God brought us all together here in person and online so that we could know that this clutch moment that happened 2,000 plus years ago is a moment that Jesus changed human history. But it wasn't something that he wanted to change on a broad sense. The resurrection of Jesus is for you. It's for your marriage. It's for your kids. It's for your relationship with God. It's for your healing. It's for your health. And I know some of us have come in here with a myriad of things that we have been carrying for so long. But I hear Jesus saying, you don't have to carry it anymore. Because I carry your weight out of the tomb on Sunday. I carried your shame. I carried the addiction. I carried your brokenness. I carried it all. Today is the day of new beginnings. Today is the day where Jesus is saying, I'm making all things new. I'm doing a new thing. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. Because I believe that God brought you here today for one purpose and one purpose only, to let you know that he is clutch. He's reliable. He's dependable. When you need him the most, he shows up. I want you to know today, church family, online, in person, it does not matter how difficult and how hard your life is right now. And I know it may be hard. But I hear God saying, if I could get my son up out of the grave, I can handle whatever it is that you're up against right now. It is not stronger than me. And many of us in here today have been carrying so much for so long. But Jesus is saying, would you come to me and I can give you rest? Would you come to me? Because when you come to me, you'll know that I've already had the victory. And that victory is not something for you to achieve. No, no, no. Through Jesus now, victory is something for you to receive. And I want you to know, family, that God has so much more for you right now in this season. I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate game changer. That it's the resurrection of Jesus. It's the game-winning shot of heaven that can save your life, that can save your soul, that will set you free from all that you are experiencing right now. I want you to know that the resurrection, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the day that everything changes. And it can happen today. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every single person watching online, here in person. I pray, God, that for those who are in a place of darkness, like the women to the tomb, in a place of mourning, Lord, would you minister to them right where they are? I pray that today, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they would know that you are with them. And that because you raised your son Jesus up out of the grave, that they too can be set free. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want this. Because the past year, the past few months, the past week has been hard. It's been difficult. It's been stressful. I've been trying to do it on my own. But today I want Jesus. And I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And so if this is you, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus and you want to put your faith and trust in him to set you free, to give you life, to give you hope, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for freeing me. Thank you for coming through in the clutch. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we put our hands together for the resurrected King and for all those who said yes to Jesus today? Come on. I need us to do better than that. Come on. Let's open up our mouths. Let's put our hands together. Let's celebrate that all that God has done. Come on. Does anybody know that our King is alive and that he has resurrected power? Come on. Open up your mouth.